Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Aikman is intercepted by Sam Mills. Steve Smith is going to go all the way. Panthers win in overtime.
Newton steps up, goes for the end zone. Olsen, touchdown! Brian Burns to the house!
And it is caught for the touchdown by Moore.
And in the foot race, McCaffrey to the end zone.
Keep pounding on three. 1, 2, 3.
Keep pounding.
All right, Panthers fans, it's time for another edition of the Roar Podcast brought to you by our good friends at Blue Wire, one of the great podcast networks. Proud to come up on our one-year anniversary with Blue Wire. Billy Marshall, John Ellis here with some more Panthers talk for you. It's been a while. Billy, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good, my friend. Staying busy. I know you are too, but it's good to reunite here on a Saturday morning as we tape this and talk about several things going on in Charlotte with the Panthers, from Dave Tepper to stadiums to the vaccines. We've got a lot to cover today, but we will talk some football as well, folks. You can catch this podcast again all weekend and throughout the week. Thanks for subscribing to the Roar Podcast on Apple Pods and Spotify and all that good stuff. So, yeah, Billy, quite a bit. We talked a little bit before the show about a couple of issues, I guess, that you could say came up over the last week when we didn't talk. One being Dave Tepper's. It seems like a semi-annual thing at this point. He holds court with the media. It's somewhat impromptu. He takes a couple of questions, and he's usually rushed off after that. And I've heard a lot of analysis on Dave Tepper's comments about, you know, the city funding the stadium that he wants, the Bank of America Stadium, which is now 26 years old, younger than Arrowhead Stadium and other great stadiums out there, is going to, quote, fall apart. On the other hand, he's a billionaire. That's how he negotiates. I get that. But let's start with that, Billy. The owner of the Panthers is out front again. What was your takeaway from his comments, Billy, and where are you at with it?
Yeah, I guess my main takeaway is that, you know, this guy just continues to dig himself into a hole after having a pretty quiet and productive offseason. A lot of good things involved this past offseason, especially with firing Marty Herney and replacing him with a new GM, and then, you know, how much he kind of relied on those individuals with the football side to take over the draft, and he was doing some good stuff in that war room, as we saw on The Confidential.
Oh, yeah.
But this is, you know, kind of goes back to a lot of reasons why people are just skeptical of him. I don't get, like, why. I understand why he made those comments. I'm just not sure, you know, why he came out with the tone he did towards the media. And kind of, because if you watch it again, there's a few video clips of it, and yeah, at first, when I first saw the tweets, I was just like, all right, maybe he's just, you know, expressing it differently than what we kind of are accustomed to. But then when I watched the clip, it was just as bad. And I'm just not sure, like, why he decided to go in that direction.
It,
I mean,
back to your point, it's the what he says, the actual substance of it, never mind the tone, is going to raise eyebrows. he knows that going in. I'm sure that's part of his rationale, that he's trying to ruffle some feathers, whether it's with the city council, whether it's those taxpayers that don't see this as a good idea in terms of a publicly funded stadium. I get that. I totally get it. I do want to say that folks are panicking a little bit, and I get it because folks have been panicking for 20 years with this team that they're going to move to St. Louis or move to London. It ain't going to happen. They're already breaking ground in Rock Hill, and I think that's what he's getting at, that, look, I've got options here. I'll take this thing south of the border, go down to Rock Hill, and my friends in South Carolina will help fund a stadium for me. He just is who he is, Billy. I don't like some of his comments. I'll be honest with you. I don't like the way he presents himself at times. It is off-putting. He's the richest owner in the NFL by far. And I know some people will tell me there were Tepper apologists from day one, Billy, when he was out there tailgating with the fans. They were all on my ass about this. I was like, look, just be careful. I know you all hated Richardson, and it didn't end well. But this guy seems great. He's wearing the ball cap, and he looks like Joe Fan. He's not like you. He's not like me. He's a ruthless billionaire who once tore down the mansion of his boss that fired him and built a bigger one on top of it. That's who he is. So when he made these comments, I weren't surprised. I was disappointed, Billy. I'm like you, because it's just one more, you know, it's been a great offseason. There's been so many positive things that the owner has done, that the front office has done. I think he can get what he wants here without having to put his face in front of the cameras every so often and clamor. He did this with the Cam Newton stuff. I'm not a doctor. You know, these are just – it's his team, Billy. That's all I got to say. You know, I get it. It's his investment. But we also have the right as observers, as fans, as analysts to look at this and say, you know what, to say that this stadium's going to fall apart any day now, going to cry, it's just ultimate hyperbole, and it's so bad. That's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Great
location. I'm with you. I don't think
it's a stadium that had already been upgraded several times, Billy, and there's nothing wrong with it. Now I know here's the big thing, and I'll let you get in on this in a minute. The name of the company is Tepper Sports and Entertainment, TSC. Entertainment being the key thing here. This guy is talking about, well, after COVID, there's no way in hell I'm building a dome. But I think a retractable roof might be in the mix because he's going to want to have venue, you know, events. He's going to have, you know, mega concerts. He's already got the Garth Brooks thing lined up, other ones as well. If a rainstorm comes, that sucks. If you got a retractable roof, a closed roof, you're good. You can host Final Fours at that point. You can talk about hosting a Super Bowl perhaps. He's not going to just settle for a basic open-air stadium as he sees it. When he looks at Bank of America Stadium, he doesn't see the palatial, you know, the Jerry World or the Arthur Blank World that he feels like he deserves. He's got the means to pay for it. and even if he doesn't pay for it, maybe publicly coming out in this economy and taking that approach is not the best way to ingratiate yourself with the community of Charlotte. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that, yeah, first of all, I don't think they're moving the team. The guy just built a soccer team here. And obviously he has the stadium or the practice facility in Rock Hill. So, yeah, if they do move, it's going to be south of the border.
Down there, Billy. It's like he's
building Yeah, no, if they do move, it's going to be like south of the border. But, like, why would you want to move Charlotte? Like, it's like one of the biggest – like growing cities like in this country. I understand that you want to put pressure, but I just didn't like the way he came across it because taxpayers in this city, they don't need to keep footing the bill for, you know, sports stadiums. Like it's not fair to them. And every time, like, you know, these owners, whether it's Tepper or someone else, whenever they come out and say like, these are the benefits of why we should do it, it never ever happens. They always like, they do these fancy slides and renderings, but go down and look at which actual like city or local community has actually benefited economically from taxpayers building either like a practice facility or stadium. It's very, very low. I don't think it's ever like happened.
It's a toy for the owner, Billy. The same was for Jerry Jones. He built this thing out in the suburbs, obviously. Arthur Blank built his. I mean, these guys just want their toy. They want their big toy, their shiny toy. The
yeah, the owner, no, I mean,
not the community benefits. Look, I get that they're going to play that angle. But you look, if you're going to take that side of it, and as an owner and as a organization say, you know, there are endless benefits to the community from this development, you also have to respect our view that, hey, coming out and saying, hey, I'm not paying for this by myself, with that tone, is just like, and some people have told me, look, he was being sarcastic. He, you know, it's just, that's just who he is. Well, you know, fine. But I'm not going to, you know, bow down and just accept his word as the gospel. Just no more than I would Jerry Richardson. I mean, look, this is what, year four for Dave Tepper? We've not had a winning season yet. We've been dicking around here, getting the business side of the operations, you know, in order. I get that. But it's all about football for me. You know, there's a lot of things going on with Dave Tepper that have nothing to do with football. Richardson had his problems, but this was a football organization for a long time. It's you know, becoming a multi-level entertainment organization at this point, and I think that's how Dave views it. Dave loves the Panthers, I'm sure, but he also loves Billy Joel. He also loves soccer. He loves money. He loves everything. So it's a different approach, man. I think a lot of fans that I've talked to are having a hard time getting used to the fact that, I mean, like, for instance, when these club seats were put together for the soccer thing, and I, you know, I'm fine with soccer. I'm not a soccer nut, but my kids love it. I watch it. I think it's great. But like this field turf stuff too, but mainly the seats, they took away some of the PSL owner seats reportedly without telling them first. And there was some, our friend Nick Carboni had reached out to one PSL owner who was like, hey, that's my seat you're carving into. I've been sitting there for like 20 years. So I think it's just sometimes the communication is just, and we've talked about this with this organization, this regime. If there's one thing that hasn't been really buttoned down, it's just the communication side. And I think they can always look to improve that. Billy, one more thing, just our good friend Joe Person wrote a great piece on the Tepper, you know, comments. And it wasn't a long presser. I mean, it was very short, and it was the usual, I'm holding court for a few minutes and I'm going to make a few people laugh and chuckle and say a couple wild things. But Joe did a nice job of kind of breaking down, you know, what he said and what he meant. And I thought this was interesting. We've talked about the stadium location, you know, like the Vikings, for instance, and Joe mentions this, did the same thing. That there's been talk about the I-277, which is right beside Bank of America Stadium. There's a Charlotte Pipe and Foundry, which is a big lot of land, a company that's relocating soon. And there's an opportunity there for Tepper to possibly acquire that land and build a stadium. And as Joe mentions, get the parking revenue that they don't get right now. You ever been to Uptown Charlotte, seen a game? There's no parking for the Panthers. You're parking straight in Uptown in parking garages or, you know, lots that are collecting. But the team does not, like other teams, have a central parking lot that they can cap. So, you know, Tepper's always looking for a way to, you know, up his balance sheet there. So here's the thing. They've talked about also, Joe mentioned this, the possibility of what the Vikings did. They blew up their old stadium and built on that site, and they played in a college stadium, of course, University of Minnesota, for a couple of years. And that is a possibility here, that Clemson or South Carolina, or I guess possibly NC State or UNC, a local team with a 50 to 75,000 seat capacity, college-wise, could be hosting the Panthers. Yeah, and this is a long way down the road, Billy, but, you know, that's just something to stick, you know, in your head there, that there's a lot of options here for the Panthers in terms of stadiums. There wasn't a ton of talk in Joe's article about Rock Hill other than the headquarters. I still think Dave, Billy, and again, it's you've been to the location. It's great. The I-277 corridor right across from there, the Charlotte Pipe and Foundry, it would have the same skyline effect. It would be a bigger lot of land. I think that would be ideal. I love the stadium as it is. I think it's great. I don't think they need to do a lot to it. But again, Tepper Sports and Entertainment. He wants to have a mega palace to be able to do soccer and football and concerts and who knows what else he's got going on.
So, I don't understand. Like, when they built the stadium, like did they just build it with, like, poor, like, equipment and stuff? Because
Bank of America Stadium?
Yeah, because the stadium was built in, what, 96, 97?
Stadium's fine. Now,
like, the Chiefs, you know, I'm just saying the Chiefs have been using Arrowhead for, like, five decades.
Really? It's, I've talked about the Arrowhead comparison for weeks now. the stadium is not falling apart. No one's been to that stadium, as far as people from outside the city, more than me, especially back in the day. But even recently, you know, the upgrades they've made, look, it doesn't – I'm sure when Tepper goes to a Vikings game, which he probably did last year when they traveled there, or to Atlanta, you know, once a year, he sees the setups they have, and he's like, this is what I need. This is Tepper World right here. You know, 70,000 outdoor seating, sort of a bland-looking design by his standards. It's just who Tepper is. He just wants a palace. And
I just don't get it, man. Like,
it's disingenuous to say that Bank of America Stadium is going to fall apart.
How about we just win football games?
When he says it, I know what he's trying to get at, but he should stop saying that. It just sounds so stupid.
How about this? I have an idea.
Yeah.
Win football games, and maybe the taxpayers will support you.
You know what? We've been, 20 minutes into this discussion. That's one thing we should talk about at some point. It's the fact that this is 2018-19. This is year four for Dave Tepper now. And, look, I'll be honest with you about David Tepper. I've been up and down with – I've been very honest in my analysis on Dave Tepper. I have not held back when I thought he has stepped in it. Pat Kerwin, our good friend on SiriusXM, has talked about it takes a while to learn how to own. He's worked for a lot of owners. He's worked for owners that were good, bad. You've seen recent owners like the Haslams, the Pegulas. They struggled at times to get things right. They made some bad hires. Nothing's guaranteed. It's not easy to own a football team, Billy, especially when you're taking on all these other projects. No matter how much funding you have, no matter how much capital you have in the bank, it's a whole different world being the sole owner of a team. Unlike
Pittsburgh. It just seems like he's focusing too much on so many things at once.
Yes.
He gets all these ideas and he just wants to implement it instead of just focusing on other your first priority, which is you bought the team, so why don't you try to win?
Gets back to my point about the strategy in terms of who he hired. Again, I don't dislike Matt Rhule, so don't get me wrong, but that was a strange hire to me. That did not signal somebody that said, okay, you know what, I'm the richest owner in the league, I can go find a guy that can win now and build a roster now. Nah, we're going to take our time and do this 7-year roam it and build a day plan and hire Baylor's coach. I mean, to me, I like Matt Rhule a lot. Did I consider him to be, you know, top shelf first choice NFL head coach with his staff coming with him, like Evan Cooper and, you know, Phil Snyder? Look, those are all great coaches. No, I didn't think the richest owner in the league was going to take that approach, but he did. And now we're still coming into year four with nothing but losing seasons under his belt with Ron Rivera, with Matt Rhule. And I get it. Matt's going to have time to get his program up and running, but Kevin Stefanski took his team to the playoffs last year, Billy. I mean, I'm just saying, if this Matt Rhule experiment doesn't – and this gets to our Sam Darnold transition here. We're going to talk about football with Sam Darnold too, but we have, you know, the vaccine thing is something you and I definitely want to address here. But you know, this is a big year for Matt Rhule. Is it all or nothing for him? No, it's not. If they go 5-11 again, I'm sure he's safe. But at some point, this investment in Rhule, which is substantial – has got to show returns. And if they don't start making some progress towards the 8-9 win clip and start showing they're ready to take the leap from, you know, winning 5 games and blowing 3 games and getting blown out a few times and being a little better than they are at times and then really showing their true colors and their losses, it's just not going to end well for Matt. And then Dave Tepper is really going to feel the heat banging on the door for money for a stadium when he's the richest owner in the league and he hadn't put a winning product out there. It's a big year. They've got to start winning some goddamn games.
I agree. I really have nothing else to say. It comes down to
that. Hate to vent. I'm not trying to steal your thunder here.
No. I just think, you said, man, I'm only focused on, you know, Peyton. The Colts were, before Peyton Manning came, they were kind of like an irrelevant franchise.
Yeah.
But once they started winning, then they could do all the fun stuff, build a new stadium, yep, revitalize their downtown.
Yep.
Win games first before we start going off on these other endeavors. I don't even care about the soccer stuff. You can own as many other teams as you want. I'm just talking about practice facilities, stadium upgrades and demanding taxpayers' money. Win some games first before you start approaching that. This has nothing to do with Matt Rhule. I think just be patient and try to see if we can win some games first before we're, you know, moving in this, you know, direction where we're going so quickly. It just seems like it's...
Yeah, and I had somebody get on me about the Matt Rhule thing. Like, somebody had... It was actually some local reporter had kind of... I'm not going to mention his name. He was like, why are you so anti-Rhule? And, you know, what is this when they hire? I said, look, here's the thing. And I'll go back to this, and I still feel this way. Is a lot of bravado and a lot of gusto coming from the David Tepper camp, you know, during the Ron Rivera era. And then when they fired Ron, I get why they did that. I think you and I both agree that they sort of needed to transition to a new direction there. But to say that that was an unconventional approach would be an understatement. And that doesn't mean I don't like Matt Rhule. I didn't know much about the guy. I know the appeal to most people is that he's a quote winner and a quote program builder, and he can take shit and turn it into gold. And okay, he did that at Temple. He did that at Baylor. And that was admirable. He's had 1 year of experience in the NFL. College coaches typically don't really do well at this level. But Tepper sort of kind of gets this, I'm the smartest guy in the room vibe sometimes. And I'm going to outbid the Giants at the last minute for Matt Rhule and sweep in. I'm just saying, you know, I want Matt to succeed because he's a good dude, and he deserves to do well in this league because he works his ass off. And I like his staff. I really like Phil Snow. I ended up really – we talked to Cody Alexander last summer, you and I, almost a year ago, and I got to know Phil's scheme a little bit and a little bit of his background, and I got intrigued. And I thought Phil did some good things, and Joe Brady's obviously got a bright future. And, you know, I just – but the staff itself is just like it's a bunch of his buddies. And – I just, you know, I think when you've got the pockets as deep as you have, I'm not saying if you go out and build the, you know, the NFL former coach and his assistant's dream team, because we've seen, you know, the Redskins do that with Marvin Lewis as a DC with Steve Spurrier and all this stuff. But I'm just saying, you know, you got to back it up at some point. If Matt Rhule does not put together a winning season, maybe by next year, I mean, that's, I'm expecting this year for them to be wild card competitive. They should be. They were close last year in a lot of games. That's the pressure I'd be putting on Matt if I was in that building saying, look, but at the same time, Billy, Dave Tepper was the one that said Rome wasn't built in a day. So I guess stadiums aren't built in a day either. We can say that as we move on to the topic of Sam Darnold. So Billy, Twitter was in an uproar. I saw Joe Person's tweet during the presser. The presser, I was, many people have asked me.
When a bad week for Panthers PR, right?
Yeah. Just, yeah. So Sam Darnold, you know, basically was asked, like, and I don't blame Joe Person for asking this question. A lot of people have been kicking Joe around. You know, well, this is a personal issue. Like, no, it's not.
Wait, people are mad at Joe?
Oh, no. Not just Joe. Reporters in general. Dude, there's the whole anti-vax crowd. And look, I'm sure people listen to this podcast are skeptical of the vaccine. I got family members that don't want to do it. I get it. Here's the thing. I've told people, my doctor suggested it. My wife's doctor suggested it. Our pediatrician said it, you know, at some point the kids can, it just, people we trust.
And your wife works in the medical field too, right?
Yeah, in the medical field in general, you know, the ones that are not quacks are saying, look, you're pretty much needing to get this thing done so we can all go forward. But
yeah.
Sam's comment about I need to gather more information, I think it was, or still evaluating my options. He had to have known that was going to go a little bit viral for the worst, and given the climate we're in. Does he care? I don't know, Sam. I'm not going to try to change his mind on his,
you know, what's...
perspective. But I just think it's going to get messy, Billy. This whole vaccine thing with the league, this is the new outrage thing we've got going on now on both sides. You've got the vaccine crowd that's getting their vaccines and are pissed off at people that aren't because they're being stupid about it. And then you have people that aren't getting vaccines calling us sheeple and, you know, y'all are, and there's a sort of a political juxtaposition to it as well. You know that, but it's just one more thing that got to be a bit of a distraction last week. And like I told you before the show, Billy, it's Sam's got enough question marks as it is in terms of his, we talked to Greg Cosell. You know, I saw Darren Gant write about his footwork that Sean Ryan's working on. What did Greg say? He said, in the pocket, the feet to eyes are just an issue. There's a lot of mechanical stuff on the field about Sam to be concerned about. But then, you know, Joe asked the question, Sam answers it, and reporters are going to tweet that out. And it went viral. And Sam was trending for a whole day about it. And personally, look, I think these all these guys should get smart, get the vaccine, move forward. There's not going to be a goddamn chip in your shoulder. They're not tracking you. It's not an NSA initiative. It's a shot, and it keeps you from getting sick. Billy, I'll give you the floor on it.
Yeah, so first of all, I just wanted to say this isn't an issue that's isolated to Sam Darnold. Montez Sweat had some pretty ignorant comments himself. And on top of that, it seems like poor Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, like their entire locker room over in Buffalo, are pretty skeptical of taking the vaccine. But let me just bring this in a couple of different directions, okay? Because, you know, the first one is Joey Sly, okay? And Joey Sly, his brother, passed away from leukemia when he was only 20 years old. And Sly was essentially, this is his full quote. He says, "I think you can have conversations with people, and I think it's important to have conversations with people about it and be able to discuss it in a way, in a relaxed way, to get some people at ease about what the virus is, what the vaccine may do." And essentially, like, he felt comfortable. Like, he was like, when they gave the A-OK, because he spoke to his family's doctors, when they gave the A-OK to say that this is something that's okay, it was a no-brainer for me to go ahead and get it. I don't know, man. Like, Joey Sly, if he can do it, and he seems, you know, to be a pretty smart guy, like, I just don't understand, like, why everyone else is, like, so hesitant to use it. And
there's a good deal, and I'm sure you can guess the ones I'm talking about, because you follow some of these assistant coaches, and you kind of see the accounts they follow, and there's a few assistants out there, coordinator level assistants, that are, I'm just going to say Del Rio is probably one of them, that are probably not going to get the shot, and are in charge of leading some of these guys.
The Here's field. The thing, become, like, if
they become influential, and Montez Sweat obviously is making comments of, you know, I don't need to be treated for this. Well, it's not a treatment plan. It's a vaccine, Montez.
So I just want to say, like, to, you know, further your point here, you know, Darnold, he came down with mono a couple years ago. Mono, as most people know, is the kissing disease. It's how you get it from transmitting saliva from one person to another. And I'm not trying to draw an equivalence between the two, but essentially, like, it's caused by, you know, passing on germs and virus. I don't know if there's a vaccine for mono. I don't think so. But if Darnold went through that brutal, like, illness a couple years ago, when it took him out of multiple games, and it also caused him to, when he did return, caused him to still look pretty mediocre, for a guy who has a chance to not only just further his career here, but also it's essentially his last opportunity to prove he's an NFL starting quarterback. Like, just go out there, be a leader, and just get the vaccine. If he doesn't want to get it for, you know, there's some people for religious reasons and for whatever reasons they don't want to do it.
Yeah, you're going to hear the other side. I think it's in the minority now because this country has gotten wise and most people are getting it done. But Billy, I live in the upstate of South Carolina. Needless to say, it's the part of the country that sees red nonstop. And I'm telling you, this vaccine thing is highly politically charged. And you get a lot of that around America. You get a lot of that within the football community too, with, like I said, some assistant coaches out there that see the world differently than maybe you and I do. That becomes a part of their thinking, because the experts they're listening to aren't really experts. They're kind of quacks. And I hate to say it, I don't know how much more research Sam needs to do. Here's the thing. If you hadn't gotten it done by now and you're still researching it, you're not getting it done. He should just,
here's my whole thing.
These guys just, like, come and say, look, I'm not doing
people
it.
Like, well, here's the thing too, is like, do you want to, like, continue to wear masks, get tested every day? No. You know, if you come in close contact, you have to miss time. You can't be in the building. All these other protocols that are associated with individuals who aren't vaccinated. It just seems like such an incentive to get it done. Like, plus, like, I'm not even sure, like, you know, what the policies are. Like, if you go out and you're like in an unmasked environment, like a bar, a restaurant, or a club, you know, I was also just really disappointed to hear Matt Rhule kind of his comments towards it. He was just like, it's every player's individual responsibility. And that's a fine statement, but let's go down south to Tampa, where they have a Super Bowl winning head coach. And he was essentially just like, like, I told the players, if you want to get back to normal, get vaccinated. And he's like, everyone's tired of meeting out here and eating outside and doing all those things we had to do last year. It's a personal choice, but I don't see a reason not to be vaccinated. Those are Bruce Arians' comments. And there's a reason why they're Super Bowl champions and they're going to most likely, like, you know, be up there again, win another Super Bowl, because they have a coaching staff that are professionals and they're adults, and that's what you need. I'm just really disappointed to hear Matt Rhule's comments. And yeah, I know the entire coaching staff here is vaccinated because I'm looking at these OTA pictures and I don't see anyone wearing a mask, but you have to also lead to make sure that your team is vaccinated so you guys can get back to normal.
I think Matt, you know, you never know what we're, you know, Matt's obviously, if he's been vaccinated, you're great. Did he intend to be sort of passive in his messaging? I don't know. I can't get in his head. Like I said, Matt's the former coach of Baylor. He's getting used to being an NFL head coach still. And part of that, you know, is communicating effectively with the national media and the local media about these issues. And maybe that's his message. Maybe it is, you know, in fact, to him, you know, whereas Bruce Arians is an advocate for it. I believe Rivera has done some of this. Other coaches I've seen have, you know, tried to put out a positive message about the vaccine to sort of quash some of the bad info out there, because there's bad info. I mean, look, I'm not liberal. I'm not conservative, Billy. I'm really apolitical at this point. I'm trying not to be a dumbass about my health. That's the thing that concerns me about this situation, is you've got your cornerstone of your franchise on the offensive side of the ball who had mono, like you said, and that wiped him out for a while. And he's trying to resurrect his career, and the team obviously feels like he's got an opportunity to do that. And he's still not vaccinated, and he just doesn't seem to want to. And it's becoming like one of these things that's going to loom until either he does or he just says, I'm not going to. And what if he gets sick, Billy? I mean, what if he misses time and he plays poorly as a result? I mean, it's just – seems like such an easy thing to do, but look, I respect his choice as a man, but he also plays football for the Carolina Panthers and is paid handsomely to do so. And the league has got to sort of figure out where they want to go with this, because they're not mandating it. They're putting sort of an 85% sort of number on what they want to see teams at. But I just think it would be great if they made them all get it. But I'm sure a lot of people think I'm the worst person in the world for thinking that way, Billy. That's the way we are in America.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I just – let's try to think about where teams can find marginal advantages throughout the year, because you're probably not going to find, like, a major advantage. This is your roster now. You're not going to trade for, like, a Julio Jones or Aaron Rodgers. I just – well, I don't see it. So try to find marginal advantages. And I think a marginal advantage is having your entire, or at least 85%, which is what they're saying, vaccinated. So everyone can be in the building. They can get returned to normal, you know, build a camaraderie, you know, be in the film room, not having to do these on Zoom where you could have technical issues.
Right.
Let's just try to, like, act like adults, I feel like. I mean, if you don't want to take it because there are some religious reasons, and I understand those, then fair enough. But I don't think that there are 15% of players on this team that have religious reasons why they can't get it.
Yeah, it's touchy at that point. So look, you know, Sam, do what you want, but we can also, as those who have a interest, as the media does, and they're writing and they're reporting on this, Joe being very honest, as well as others, about their perspective on this. And you saw some national people chime in. I saw Florio roasting the hell out of Sam on Twitter, maybe taking it a little too far at times. But that's Florio. Look, I got no problem with Sam Darnold. He seems like a good dude. Am I kind of perplexed he's here in Carolina? Yes. I was perplexed Bridgewater was here last year. I still don't see what the path forward is here. I get what they're trying to do. I've talked to one person within the organization, Billy, I've told you this, that has high marks on Sam. They really liked him going back to the draft, and they're excited, and there's some genuine excitement in the building. And I'll just say this. I don't want to beat this because this is a legal thing too. Just keep an eye on Deshaun Watson. I'm just telling you right now, he's going to get dealt at some point, and I don't think the Panthers are completely out of that one. They weren't to begin with. I don't think the Sam thing rules them out. Will it happen? I'm not hearing it's going to. But that's just – I still have my eye on that. I think at some point Carolina's got to decide, you know, and I maybe they have decided Sam is their guy and that chapter is closed and whatever. But a fifth-year option after this year is not exactly a four-year extension. So hope he plays well. Hope he stays healthy. Hope the COVID vaccine issue doesn't become an issue for him or the team. But if it does, then, hey, he invited it. So that's that. We'll have to see. Of course, the preseason schedule has been released, Billy. They're going to be playing the Indianapolis Colts on a 1 p.m. kickoff on August 15, which is kind of cool. It's going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium. And week two, they're going to play the Ravens. And I think that week two game, Billy, is going to kind of – I'm thinking it's going to feel like the week three game used to when it was a four-game schedule, being your starters will probably play more that week. I'm just assuming maybe they won't. But the Ravens will be a good test, I think, if you look at it from that perspective. And they course, of course, with the Steelers like they always do. But, Billy, just your thoughts on having some preseason games again. Yeah, these things don't mean a lot. I get it. But I think for Matt Rhule, they kind of do. I mean, this is a big deal for him because last year he didn't have a chance to really evaluate these guys in a game setting. I think it's a pretty big deal for him to have these back.
I don't mind. Well, actually, I love preseason because, you know, a guy like me who pays attention to, like, the draft from, like,
yeah,
you know, day three, where a lot of these players are mainly getting their opportunities, I really do think it's an underrated part of an NFL schedule. So I'm glad it's returning. And I think for this team, it's going to be good because they get to finally practice against another opponent. And that's going to be Indianapolis and Baltimore, two teams that, well, I know for a fact, Baltimore will have a good defense. They always do. And the Colts, they have a pretty strong defense too. So it's going to be a good test for the offense. And obviously both of those teams, they present some pretty unique they're the two of the best teams in the AFC, in my opinion. So I'm glad they're taking time out to do those joint practices. I've always found the joint practices to be, you know, pretty fulfilling for a team. Like, obviously, I don't have like any type of data to support that, but I just feel like, I've been to a couple of them. I went to the one when they did against the Dolphins, the infamous Kelvin Benjamin tearing his ACL practice.
Yeah, that was bad.
I've always felt like it's good practice. And I think a lot of the teams are doing it now, so it's cool to see.
It'll be fun to watch. Mandatory mini camp, of course, coming up here next week with June 15th through 17th. Bill, I think what we do is our next pod, we're going to touch on a lot of, you know, sort of the OTA stuff we've read up on and looked at, and we're going to work on getting a guest who was on site to talk to us about the mini camps here, because that's a big deal too. It's a more conventional season now. They're having a chance to get in the grass and play together and, you know, practice together and communicate in a more formal way. Last year was all Zoom and close quarters and not a lot of interaction. And I think it's good. They got a good season of a good slate of OTA stuff under their belt now. It's time to move on to mandatory minicamp, and maybe Robbie Anderson will show up, Billy. Who knows?
Well, he better, or else he's getting fined.
That would be interesting. I think he's going to show. I don't feel like that's anything more than just a guy taking a break. But
I'm 99.9% confident he's going to show up, and I have no
people need to take a break.
Like intel. I just feel like he seems like a guy who – he lives in Miami, Florida, where all the training facilities are. Yeah. So I don't blame him for not coming to Charlotte to work out, but
yeah. So we're going to hit on that, and Billy and I will be back with you probably in the next 5 or 6 days with another episode, and we'll probably start getting back into the mode. We'll kick out a couple of these a week with getting back into the preseason mode. Training camp's going to be awesome right here in Spartanburg. It's already feeling like it today. It's like 100 degrees on here. So Billy, you got anything else, man?
No, sir.
Well, good talk, man. Enjoyed doing this with you. Again, the Roar podcast on Blue Wire. We thank those guys, Kevin Jones, Tyler Chin. We're kind of celebrating here next month our one-year anniversary, so we'll have to plan something for that. But thanks to Blue Wire for this. Thanks to you guys for subscribing and listening. We'll check you next time.